We are Unqualified Parenting.
We're here to do the work researching topics so that you don't have to. We're a dad
and a mom aiming to bring you our own unique perspective from our two very different blended families.
Hi, Jen.
How are you?
Doing all right. Living, working, breathing.
Got COVID yet?
Not yet, but we did welcome a new addition to the house the other day, coming in at about 11 pounds, 1.5 feet tall. It's white and black. I nabbed myself a PlayStation 5. Yeah.
I thought you were talking about your dog, and I was like, we've already done this, Cody.
No, I don't know what I did to get lucky, but I got an email from PlayStation back in June that said, hey, you're cool. Put in your info here and we'll save you a spot in line. So I just did it, thinking, hey, what's the worst thing that could happen? And then literally the night before pre-orders went live, I got an email that was like, here's your private link. And we've reserved you this from this hour to this hour to buy whatever you'd like. And so literally like to pre-order, like I clicked the link and I was like, add one of those and that and credit card details, and I'm done.
That's amazing.
And that night, the internet fucking went on fire because Sony said, we'll announce pre-orders tomorrow, and then Walmart jumped the gun and opened pre-orders right then.
Dicks.
They all got sold out in 5 minutes. Target had to jump on board. Then GameStop. All these retailers started going live randomly, and all these bots started buying all the PlayStation 5s. So I had no idea. And I was like, wow, that was really easy. You know, like what a great way to do it for everybody. I guess there was like about 1,000 of us that got this email. I don't know did, but it was so nice.
That's awesome. You needed a break.
There's someone that works at Sony that's got a crush on me and I'm fine with it.
It's your PS angel.
But that happened when the PlayStation VR came out. I got an email that was like, hey, do you want to try it for 90 days for free? And if you keep it, you get it for 25% off? Sure.
They probably have an email list that they know, like, these people will 100% give us their money ASAP.
These are the gullible assholes that'll just buy whatever we throw at them. Well, like, the thing is like, I don't spend a lot of money with PlayStation. I'll buy about 2 games a year. So that's about $120 a year. Yeah. I guess plus a new console and another thing. Okay. Yep. All right. I see what you're doing. I'm there. How are you, Jen?
I'm okay. I feel like I'm teetering on the abyss of being not okay. So I'm trying very hard to be okay.
Not okay. If that makes sense. Like mentally?
Like, yeah, like I went to take off New Year's Eve today at work, as I do always, because I always like New Year's Eve game night at Jen's house. Yeah. It's a thing. It's a thing. Like
I've been going for 2 years now. It's legit.
Yeah. And I make all this like food and snacks and I get the house ready and I clean everything. And I went to like do my time off slip. And I realized I don't need to do one because I have no idea what I'm going to be able to do at that time.
Oh, did you just write fuck this shit and then turn it in still?
And then I lit the building on fire. But I didn't like that New Year's party. Like that's my like, I'm not a mom. I get to be with my friends and just like let loose. And it's not like, it's kind of like the de-stress. You get through the holidays, mm-hmm. You get through everything. And then you just fucking drink and you play games and you're stupid and it's fun. And it's just none of that's happening.
Yeah.
It sucks.
I am traditionally the one to tell my wife, you cannot decorate for one holiday until another has passed. We're not jumping the gun on anything. So, like, you can decorate for Christmas the day after Thanksgiving.
That's what you do a lot.
Yeah. This year, I was like, look, you just go Christmas whenever you feel like it. Because we need... And
she pulled pencil out of her pocket like a clown with colored scarves.
You have no idea. Yeah, she, like, except she grinds like mistletoe into a fine powder and snorts it, and then just like
I was picturing like grinding on mistletoe like it was like a stripper pole when you said that.
That's right after Christmas, right before New Year's. That's just that little gap right there. Yeah, I feel you. It sucks. This was going to be our Thanksgiving episode where we talk about, hey, these are some of the ways that you can navigate the holidays with like your exes and their exes and family and whatnot. But we want you to stay safe. We want you to like just take care of your kids. And kind of like Jen was saying, just kind of have a mellow year this year. And that's okay.
So what we're doing, which is kind of nice, because usually, like, Lily hasn't been to, that's my stepdaughter, she hasn't been to my side of the family's Thanksgiving in probably 4 years. Like, it just never lands on a day when we have her, because it's always on a Thursday, and we don't have her on Thursday.
Well, it should be every other holiday.
Yeah, you should think that would make more sense, but that's not what happens. So, this year, we're having it, and my parents usually have 20, 25 people at their Thanksgiving, because they do my cousins, my aunts, my uncles, my cousins' girlfriends, my cousins' boyfriends. So when I told them we're not going, it's too many people, they canceled it. But then they said, what if it was just us and the four of you? And I said, that's under 10, so I'd be comfortable with it. And then she said, what if the grandparents came? And at first I'm like, I don't want to be responsible for passing COVID to them.
Yeah.
But it's their decision. Like, Steve's mom, my husband's mom, is 83. She's like, just come to my house. We wear a mask every time. But like, these older people, some of them are like, it's worth the risk. If I get COVID, like, oh, well, I would rather like be with family.
Grandma's like, your grandpa lost all of our retirement on those hookers overseas. I'm ready to go.
Let's get the show on the road. It's like, it's their choice. I'm not going to make that for them, because I feel like that's kind of shitty to take it away from them. If they're saying, I want to be with family and I want, you know, older, I want to have Thanksgiving with people. And if they end up getting COVID from it, like, it's on them at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. Mikkel's grandparents have basically canceled everything. It was just like, we love you all, but we're staying home.
How old are they?
They're probably about as old as your parents, I'd say.
But yeah. My grandparents are like in their late 70s. Maybe grandpa just turned 80.
No, maybe about the same age then.
That's my grandparents. My parents, like my dad is 60.
Oh, so. No. Yeah, your dad's young. That's right.
They're young.
I forgot how young your parents are. I'm back. Yeah. Here I am.
Hello.
Hi. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what we're doing. I have no idea.
But no.
I'm not worried about it. No,
it's like 10 days away.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. We'll do what we do. Yeah.
But don't you want to at least have food or something?
Yeah, I mean, if we stay home, we'll cook dinner. You know?
What we did.
I'll get a turkey and I'll smoke it and we'll have that for dinner.
That sounds good. So we wanted the Thanksgiving feast without the Thanksgiving work. So we ordered Smith's. We ordered
a little turkey. Dinner through them. Nice.
Yep. Mashed potatoes and gravy, green bean casserole, two different types of stuffing, that's pumpkin great. Pie.
That way no one has to do the work. And when you're done eating, you just scoop it all in the garbage.
No, we get leftovers. It feeds like 68 people. And there's going to be three of us.
All the plates and...
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You know,
oh, all that's the stuff a good idea. They get, we right? should do paper plates.
Yeah, because the stuff's all going to come in just garbage. So when you're done, save what you want, throw the rest away.
Yeah. That's we are going to cook breakfast, because we have my stepdaughter that morning.
Yeah.
So we'll cook a Thanksgiving breakfast, which we did last year, but I don't remember what I made.
Just pancakes in the shape of a turkey.
Turkey pancakes.
Yep. That's what it is.
Pancakes with shredded turkey inside them. So we're not doing a Thanksgiving episode because it's nobody, like... You got to do you. Nobody knows. the right answer. There is no right answer. Just don't be an asshole about it. Don't get together with like 30 people.
But also don't keep yourself isolated if it's just a couple of you getting together. We didn't want to push anyone one way or another. Be safe. If you listen to our podcast, you're smarter than like 80% of the population out there.
For real.
So. Good job. What we decided to do is do an episode of guilt. Because that's all it is just guilt. We just got, like, if you're from like an East Coast Jewish family, this isn't as much guilt as that, but it's close. This is a lot.
So
before we jump in, so Jen's doing, tell what side are you doing? Because
I'm just doing it on how, like, statistically, how people are saying this is how the child rearing is divided. This is how the household chores are divided. Okay. And how people are struggling or coping and whether or not they think it's more or less stressful than people who don't have working parents.
Perfect. So Jen's going to do the day-to-day, the in and out day-to-day stuff. And mine is more long-term damage with a few positives. There are a few positives.
Good.
But before we jump into this, because I came from all of the backgrounds, I feel like. Like, growing up, like, I had a mom at home for a good part of that. My dad worked full-time. And then my mom and my dad both worked full-time. And then they got divorced. And then my mom worked full-time, plus she did her, like, singing things, like, on the weekends. So, like, we never had, like, a stable parent in the household, ever.
Hmm.
It was always changing. So I feel like any of these benefits or negatives kind of missed my siblings, because like there's a few of these that like I'm like, oh wow, that could be us, but like I think on a whole, like as siblings, I think we kind of got lucky that there was so much change that none of these really affected us. It didn't have a chance, right? It was constantly changing. And then Jen, you had, was it both parents that worked?
No, my mom has like clinical, like severe anxiety. So she has not had a job since before I was born.
So she was always home.
Yes.
So she was always home. So you had a, I mean, so that's perfect. Cause I feel like this is going to be a lot of info that like, as I was like doing the research, I was like, oh wow. Yeah. That could have affected me. Oh, yep. That could have been me. This doesn't fit at all.
But you know what actually brought this up is I was at therapy, which I have my therapy tomorrow, thank God. But I was at therapy last month and I mentioned to my therapist, like, I feel like I'm drowning, like between working full time, I'm trying to find another job, taking care of my toddler, and my husband has been working on finishing our garage. Like, with all that going on, like, I am just constantly doing things from when I wake up until when I go to bed. And he mentioned that him and his wife, who we've had on the show, they often talk about this subject, about how it affects people. And it really intrigued me because two working parents is totally different than it was even, like, 30 years ago. It was mostly, it had like a part-time parent and a full-time parent, or one at home and one at work. It's really new to have what they call a nuclear family, which I've heard that, but I never really understood what it meant.
Yeah. So like when I was reading, so I mean, way back, like it was a village raises the child. So
exactly.
You lived close to your parents, and by close, sometimes I mean in the same household as your parents and as your grandparents, and you have sisters and aunts and uncles and brothers and people that are all close that all play such an important part of raising the child.
And this was only like 40 or 50 years ago.
Yeah, this was like
that long ago.
I want to say basically, because like nuclear is post-World War II is the nuclear family. That's when we started going out into suburbs, and, you know, people wanted to settle down and they wanted to move out and they wanted to have this idealistic American life. And then we lost that village. We lost having
and
that.
And it's just us.
And I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of you out there that haven't seen your parents in years because they live on the other side of the country, or your kids have never met their great grandpa because he lives in a different country. And so we're super spread out now. And so,
and we're feeling it hard with this quarantine.
Yeah. And a lot of children will go their whole lives only being raised by one or two parents. Where in some countries and other, you know, lifestyles and other whatever you want to call it, they might have grandparents and great grandparents in the house. They might have brothers and sisters. They might have a lot of people in the home that all play a part and take care of the child.
Yeah.
And this is what struck me as so crazy. You think about those instances back then where you might have grandparents and uncles, brothers and sisters. Usually the mom didn't work, and usually it was the husband that worked, and he provided for a lot of the people, and the wife kind of ran the house. Well, when we got rid of this village, it became a lot more stressful on parents because husband's got to provide for everybody and wife's got to keep the household and everything going. Neither had help.
Yeah.
And so we saw the value of the dollar had more value because not a lot of people are out there working for it. So you could buy a house on like one income, buy a house, go to college, pay for college, buy a new car every year on one income. And then people started working and more people started working. And then the economy grows and goes crazy. So what we are going to be focusing on is that nuclear family, right?
Mm-hmm. With working parents.
Working parents. Yeah.
Obviously throwing the blended family into the mix.
Yes.
Adds to all that stress too.
Yeah. And I've got some really cool statistics about the step family part. So
that's great because mine didn't have shit on the step family. Like it was only mothers and fathers and like none of it mentioned the blended family. So I was curious.
I'm guessing it's because the research was done in the 70s.
It was actually, it did compare the 70s, but it was 2015 when all of these statistics were ran. So by 2015, 46 of both parents work full time. And that is up 31% from 1970.
That's 1970. Crazy.
31% up of both parents working full time. That's a huge shift.
Yeah. I mean, we don't live a flashy lifestyle, you know, like,
no,
I saved up all year for my PlayStation 5. We just didn't have the cash to do that. And my wife and I, we still have to work full time jobs, both of us, to keep the lights on.
Yeah. Yep. We have to work full time, both of us. So 54% of parents where mom and dad work full time, the parents agree that the mother does more when it comes to managing the children's schedule and activities. But when it comes to like playing with the children and having fun, then 64% they say they share equally.
So that's interesting that it was like interesting that it was like either equal or the mother did more. There was no like the father does more playing. That's equal. And then when it comes to doing the rest, the mother's more.
Yeah. It was interesting though that it was 54%. That's not much more. Mm-mm. So it's almost 50-50 where people are saying the mom does more or the mom doesn't, which actually really surprised me. I expected it to be a lot more of the mom doing more.
Yeah.
And what sways the research too is if you ask the moms say we do more. Mm-hmm. But if you ask the dads, then more of them say, oh no, it's equal. So it's hard to get like a true read.
It's because wives want to be honest and husbands want to look good. I think that's all it is. So he's like, no, I'd say it's probably about the same when he knows damn well he's lying.
So personally, like, and this is where I look at it too, because if I were to look at the last 2 months of who does most of the child rearing, even for my stepdaughter, Like, I do, like, on weekends we have her. I do a huge, huge portion of it lately. But it's because he's outside working on the garage. He's building us a garage. He's putting up walls, insulation, like an attic. He's working on something for us, for the house, but it's not to do with the kids.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like that's fair to say I'm doing more because we're doing equal. We're just doing different things.
Yep. And different isn't always equal. And it doesn't always feel equal.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. Cause I've found myself several times being the fun parent and not the parent. You know what I mean? So, you know, I found myself like I wasn't disciplining and I was letting things go and just hanging out and just having fun. And to me, I was like, oh, well, I'm putting in this time to make everyone happy and upbeat and I'm doing all this stuff. But on Mikkel's side of it, she's doing all the housework, and I'm just laughing away in the background, right?
Like, eating popcorn, watching her mop the floor. This is great.
Yeah, yeah. I'm so glad we got all those dishes dirty and just left them in there for her. This is perfect.
Yeah, kids definitely need a parent before they need a friend, for sure. Although in quarantine, you definitely still want to be a friend right now because they don't have any other friends and it's sad. So like mom and dad's like take a good look at your situation because even though it might say like a little bit more statistics, the moms run the household more too. They do more of the chores, the laundry. But is the dad doing the yard work? Is the dad changing the oil? Like, is the dad taking the cars and paying for the oil to be changed? Like, compare that. Don't just say, well, I'm doing the laundry, so I'm doing more of the household chore. Yeah, you are doing, but still, there's other stuff that needs to be done. And as long as the other partner is doing it, I feel like that should be equal. If your partner's not doing it, you might have a problem.
All you gotta do is just communicate.
Yes.
That's it. Hey, babe, I got this. Okay, I'm going to go do this. Sweet. Later. That's how it works in our house.
So what was surprising about this is like it also asked if the work-family balance is hard. So 70% of moms with some sort of college degree or college graduate, 70% said that it's difficult to balance. That's a huge portion.
Yeah, because that is a big portion. Do you think it's because I'm almost 100% sure this is what it is. It's because they feel guilty. They feel guilt they're not with their child. They feel guilt that they're not home because that's what society has just drilled into them through their entire life is you need to be home, popping out babies, wiping up spit. That's where you need to be. And if anyone goes outside of that, it's always, oh, when are you going to get married? Are you going to have kids? When are you going to settle down? Instead of like, how's the career? How's college going? And I think that's what it is. I think it's because all those societal pressures, you know, push that on you to make you feel guilt for being out of the home.
I think that that's a great insight. And I think it's also that these women are more driven, they're more motivated, they want that career, they want to succeed, and they are held back, honestly, because they do have that mom guilt and they want to be there for, like, they want both.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to have both. It's almost impossible.
You know, I bet if the country or if states put out and made like paternity leave, like guaranteed for X number of months, just the same as maternity leave for X number of months, that would allow either parent to still work on their career while having a baby at home or both staying home for those first like 6 months and taking care of the kid or for a wife to be able to have a child and have freedom at the same time. To be able to have a husband that can stay home with the baby while she works. Right now, paternity leave just doesn't exist.
No, it's just maternity. Some countries it does, but yeah, we're super behind with that. So 52% without a degree, so about half without a degree, say that work-life balance is hard. So it's like 50-50 on that one. And it's the same with men, where it's 61% that have the degree versus 47% say that work-family balance life is hard. So it's the ones that are driven, the ones that want that career, the ones that are motivated and trying to advance themselves find it more difficult.
Yeah. And I think if they're finding it difficult, it's because they're good people, you know. They want to be able to provide for and raise a family, which shouldn't have to be an either or.
I know, it really shouldn't. And I wish that they would have looked at blended families specifically, because they mention different racial differences. They bring up that the kids are under 18. They mention full-time or part-time working parents, but it doesn't mention blended families. And I feel like that's an important factor that changes so much.
Yeah.
It should be included.
I think the reason why it's not studied is because you introduce so many variables once you start looking at a blended family.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it, it's a mess.
It is a mess. They're like, ooh, let's not touch that issue.
Yeah, I want to say like there were times growing up where my dad worked and my mom was in the house, but she was always working in the house. So she was making wedding dresses for people, or she was making like those super creepy ceramic dolls for people that were collectible in the 80s. I don't know. She made one of me
once.
Like,
do you have a picture?
Oh, no. No. That would haunt any device I put it on, would just come to life. But, and then, you know, both parents started working. But it was at like different times throughout our childhood. So like I said, I feel like we totally missed it. But I don't feel like either of my parents missed the home life.
That's sad.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Like talking to my dad now, like he regrets moving around all the time and always changing jobs. But, you know, I think he would have rather been able to work more than what he was allowed. I feel like it would have changed his life from where it is now. But it's so hard.
My therapist, because I've been struggling with the family work balance, especially like, which I told my boss I was looking for another job, so he knows. So I try to take days off here or there to work on the podcast, to, you know, update my resume, things like that. On top of trying to work out, on top of trying to be there for my kids, like I'm just struggling. And my therapist said, what responsibility can you hire out? What can you have somebody else do? So for the first time ever, I paid somebody to clean my house.
And I bet if you added up all the hours that you would have spent to do the same work at the rate that you're paid at your job, you saved hundreds.
Probably.
That's awesome.
That was all I had.
That was interesting. So clearly, different situations in the home can create different impacts on us as parents, but the impacts on kids is really interesting. So the best, I read quite a few articles, and a lot of them pointed back to the same research, because not a lot of research has been done in the effects of children with differing working parents, because you have to study them for a long time. So
as we just learned,
this study is from the 70s.
Ooh.
So it was the Institute for Social and Economic Research. They measured the impact on young people of having spent less time with their parents when they were young because of work arrangements. So they did a bunch of different ways to analyze this, and they kind of compiled the outcomes of about 516 pairs of siblings that were born in the '70s. It's really weird the way that some of this like pans out. Like there's a lot of negatives, but there's like some really, really interesting positives. So there was a strong trade-off for mothers who were employed full time when their children were under five. So mothers working full time when their children were under five had more positive effects.
That's me.
Although full time work, like even though it increases family income, both parents working full time means there's less time for mothers to interact, and it like affected kids like educationally, pregnancies, like really interesting stuff. So they found that longer parents of full time employment by moms when their children were aged 1 to 5, it tended to reduce the child's chances of obtaining like an A level grade or equivalent in school. So it reduced their chances of basically doing well in school if the mother worked full time between the ages of 1 and 5.
Hmm.
It increased the child's risk of unemployment and other economic inactivity in early adulthood. It increased you're going to need a stiffer drink, huh? It also increased the child's risk of experiencing psychological distress as a young adult. So moms working full-time out of the home while their children were between 1 and 5, kids didn't do as well in school, they didn't do as well economically, and they tended to have psychological distress as a young adult. But
well, that's depressing.
It also reduced the chances of daughters giving birth before age 21.
Oh, when? There we go.
So mothers working full-time out of the house while their kids were aged 1 to 5 reduced the chances of their daughters basically having an underage pregnancy.
That's so interesting.
Isn't that weird? Because I think I can understand like the educational equivalent there, because moms always play little learning games. Like, all right, count how many things you have. All right, we got to...
You know what fixes that, though? Putting them in preschool.
Yeah, throw them in preschool.
Just put them in preschool. Mine's in preschool now.
The unemployment and economic inactivity was really interesting.
Can you say those words again, but slower?
Yeah. Unemployment and economic inactivity. So like not getting a job or never having a job.
Oh, okay.
Or
that's
not
better.
Or not being employable, like getting hired but fired right away. It increased in adulthood. And I don't know what would cause that. In a child, like we're talking 4 years of the first 5 years of a child's life. Just the mother working full time would lead the child to not seek job opportunities. Like, did they end up being like, you know, mama's boys where they always stay home and they don't get a job and they don't move out?
That's so weird. Like, maybe because the parents are more well off, they're able to stay at home longer.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. And then the psychological distress as a young adult. I wonder if that's like, because if the mother's out of the home working full time, my guess is either the father, and we're talking 70s, so either the father is home disabled or the father's out of the picture. Because we're talking 70s, like if you were a dad, you worked. That's how it was. The wife stayed home.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if with the mother working full time, there was no father, and it doesn't say, but to reduce the chances of underage pregnancy. That's really interesting.
It's weird.
So that's full-time work. So part-time employment. So part-time employment by mothers appeared to have a few adverse effects on children as young adults. So the longer a mom worked part-time out of the house when their child was a preschooler, it reduced their educational achievements, right? So not getting a letter A grade.
Yeah.
But this effect
they
was
less time with them.
But this effect was smaller than that of full-time employment at these ages. So working
Weird.
But not working full-time has less of a negative effect on education than working
Maybe full-time. Maybe because of full-time, they definitely had the kids in some sort of preschool or daycare, whereas the part-time, they could have just had family members watching them.
Yeah.
Because like, it's part-time.
It'd be really interesting to be able to like dig into all of this and see.
Yeah, it would.
All right. So father's employment and the effects weren't studied as important as like the mothers being out of the home. So longer periods of work by fathers when the children were preschoolers reduced the child's risk of unemployment, reduced their risk of experiencing psychological distress, and reduced the child's chances of not obtaining an A-level grade. So it made them better in school. So a father working full-time, they did better economically, they did better psychologically, and they did better in school.
Hmm.
Which I think, you know, the better the father's job, the more likely the mom is to stay at home.
Yeah.
Which tends to, right? So now we're making money and you're staying home with the kid and we're going to start a college fund. Well, now that we've got a college fund, we need to make sure that they're not dumbasses and that they actually use it. So we're going to really like work on getting them into a really good preschool when they're ready and the better school and the better high school and whatever.
Yeah.
But, and then here's the crazy one. If a child lived in a single parent family during childhood, it was associated with not doing well in school. Also, if the lone parent family became a step family, there was a much higher risk of daughters getting pregnant underage.
Weird.
So single parent home, you didn't do well in school, but if that single parent became a step family,
then you became
the chance
a
of
slut.
Getting pregnant early increased. Now is that, which is interesting.
Is it because they want more attention? Because
yeah,
now
is that,
they're getting less attention from that single parent that they've always had.
So if we're talking 70s, almost zero dads got custody. So almost all these step families are just a mom, right? The dad's not part of it. Dads just didn't get custody back then.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it might be a rejection of the new father figure.
Mm-hmm.
Which would push them the opposite direction to someone opposite their actual dad, right? So they always go for the bad boy. What I don't know. I get most of my education from TV, so. All right. I forgot where I was here. Give me a second. All right. So this is wordy. And So
just read it like you're not reading it.
Good luck. So longer periods of full-time employment by mothers when their daughter was a preschooler appeared to exert a positive influence in reducing the likelihood that their daughters would give birth before their 21st birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So if you work full-time as a mother, you increase these risks. But the longer that period is stretched out...
You mean you reduce the risks?
The longer it's stretched out, you reduce the risks. So if you work... Say you worked full-time out of the home from when Finn was 1 to 5 and then came back to the home versus you working full-time forever. The longer you worked full-time out of the home, the more positive of an effect you're going to have on your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Is that interesting?
Yeah.
So yeah, the longer...
Where are the sons in all this?
No one cares. No one cares. So here you go. So they basically said that an additional year of full-time employment during the child's preschool years reduced the annual probability of birth by over 2 percentage points.
Hmm.
And it was... Like, I think they said the the average annual probability of giving birth under the age of 21 for that sample is only 3%. So increasing it,
that's pretty low to begin with.
But to increase it an additional 2%.
Oh yeah, that's like that, a lot.
Yeah, that's, I mean,
that's like
60%, 70%. We're not good at math. Don't quote us on this.
66.666666666666666.
Hi, Jen. So the vast majority of the fathers in the sample were employed most of the time, almost the whole time, for, I think they averaged 15 and a half years out of the first 16 years of their child's life. I think they said that there was evidence that longer periods of a father's employment while children were preschoolers reduced the probability that children would achieve an A-level or higher qualification, so like grade. Although it's less important, that effect is less important than the mother's full-time effect on the child. This is getting crazy. So
my brain hurts.
Basically, the father being out of the home, that effect was negligible when compared to the effect of having a mother work full-time out of the house.
Is it because of, like, the birth bond? Or is it because it's, like, I wonder if it switched spots. Like, if moms were the ones working all the time, but dad stayed home, if that would be the same.
I think it, I don't know. Because, I mean, we're all kind of ingrained to just kind of accept that fathers work out of the home. That's just how it is. And so I could see that there might have been a negative effect. Say these kids grow up seeing on TV and all this stuff that the father goes to work, but knowing that their mother left them home between the ages of 1 and 5 to work full-time out of the home. And I wonder if they felt abandoned. My mom didn't stay with me when I was a baby. And I have memories of the nanny or the babysitter or of my grandma, you know, and I wonder, like, I'm sure people could study this stuff forever and never come up with like a real answer. But, you know, I have positive effects and I have negative effects. So these are positive effects of children with two parents working out of the home. These are the positive effects. The quality of your lifestyle is going to increase.
Money.
So if you compared, you know, like, across the board, even if it's school's harder or whatever's harder, quality of life increased. Life experiences. You have more money. You can do more things. You can go to Disneyland. You can allow your kid to just study abroad, you know?
Yeah, makes sense.
The other positive effect is on valuing time. Children really learn to value time when both parents are out of the house.
Parents do too, I bet.
Yeah. And so both children and parents understand that you got to make the most of that time.
Quality time versus quantity.
Two parents working out of the home make children independent.
Mm.
You are their support system, and when you're not there, they've got to figure stuff out. They've got to solve their own problems. They got to figure this stuff. You know, they learn to, you know, make decisions on their own and figure things out. I mean, I was making macaroni and cheese on the oven when I was 5. You got to do what you got to do. And when my mom, when it was just my mom and us, and, you know, I was like 6th grade, and we were all we'd be on our own for a whole weekend. We'd do our own grocery shopping. You know, my sister would have been, she would have been 13 and I was 11. And my little brother was probably 8. And we'd take care of all that stuff. Dealing with stress. Children learn from their surroundings. And when they notice how parents can balance that work life, home life, it makes them more respectful towards others and it helps them cope with stress later in life. Because two parents working out of the home, you have to be able to cope with stress. You have to be able to work together. You have
absolutely.
And kids see that and they pick it up on it. Negative effects. There have been, I don't know how to word this, but just psychological effects. I guess we'll just throw it all in a thing. couples have to move out of the cities. They have to move, you know, down, you know, maybe you live in a high rise or something. A lot of parents are unwilling to settle down in the city and live with their children and take care of their children's children. They want to stay in the suburbs. So this leaves a lot of parents with very little support. And as a result, you have to hire care facilities, a daycare provider, a preschool, mm-hmm. a nanny. Mm-hmm. And parents need to be super careful in selecting daycare and nannies and preschools, because that quality of attention, you know, if you have a low quality of attention there towards the child might spend a day crying with no one tending to them.
So sad.
Which can cause a lot of psychological effects, and they'll have separation anxiety, behavioral changes, mood swings. As children are left, you know, at daycare and with these nannies, they tend to suffer from restlessness. They have a hard time managing mood swings. And when parents don't spend more time with their children, it makes them stubborn. It makes them aggressive. And then just bonding, you know, you lose that bond of being there. And that might not be an option for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the biggest thing that I could see, that I came up with a list of like what you can do to like help, excuse me, what you can do to like help your children cope. And I wrote this list, and I think the most important one is just, if you're both working out of the home, your time with your kids has to be quality over quantity.
Yeah.
You know, you might not get that 15 minutes, but you could spend 5 completely wrapped up in their attention.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're working full-time out of the home and you're not with your kids, whether it's both of you at the same time, one of you on your own, it doesn't matter. When you get home, quality over quantity. So yeah. You sitting in front of the TV while your kid plays around you for 2 hours, that's quantity. That's not quality.
That's not quality.
But if you turned off the TV and got down and played with the toys for 5 minutes,
or even actively watched them,
you kick the ass of sitting there for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
it's you know really- what I noticed too is when you give that time is important, because my husband has been so busy in the garage. My daughter the last couple weeks is like totally daddy's girl. She keeps asking where he is. She wants to go see the garage. She wants him to hand her milk. She wants him to put her in bed. Like, she's all about him right now. And when we both get home, like, I've seen him less too. So him and I are excited to see each other, and we're talking about work, but we're also talking about the holidays. We're talking about, oh, did you see this present was on sale, or did you know that this was on sale, should we do this for Christmas, like all this stuff going on. That Finley was being such a brat when we got home, like just loud, repetitive, obnoxious. And we would yell at her, and we, like, I realized, like, when we get home, no grown-up talk. Like, we have to, like, once we're both home, we have to just spend 10 minutes, look at her, talk to her. Because we do that at dinner time. Yeah. We'll, like, ask how preschool was, and she's able to tell us a little bit now. But she doesn't want to wait. Like, she's excited to see us. So we like, shut off. Like, we can talk about all this stuff later. And we just pay attention to her, and it seemed to help a lot.
That's good. Yeah, I think back when Aubrey was younger, it was a lot more important for me to do that. But yeah, I remember, man, I would come home and the first thing I would do is all bags on the floor, and then I'd just get down with her and we'd just hang out and we'd just play, you know? And even if it was just for the 10 minutes before Mikkel got home, we'd just play.
And that was
enough, you know? Well, there's your guilt. But the positives here are, if you are working out of the home, don't forget about the positive role model that you're being and the power that that carries, because that's not studied. They don't study the power of your role model, the power of your example. They don't study that. They just study the effect on the kid. But the power of that example doesn't just extend to your kid. It extends to a lot of kids. It extends to any kids that you come across, because your kid's going to talk about what you do. All kids dish on their own families all the time, even little ones. So if you are feeling guilty, just know that you're putting up a really, really strong example. And keep it up.
Yeah. And it's harder in a blended family too.
Yeah. It sucks out there for us all. But keep going. You're doing good.
You are.
We're going to make it. You ready for
one day at a time.
You ready for some segments?
Yeah.
Segments. Segments.
I have 2 1-ups.
All right. Do you want to explain the one-up?
One-up is where you do something awesome as a parent. And game over is where you sucked as a parent.
All right. What do you
Finley recently is able to put on her own pants and knows to put the tag in the back.
Ooh.
She can put her own socks and shoes on.
That's good.
And if I hand her her shirt, like with the bottom, like so it's upside down, she can put on her own shirt.
Nice.
And she's 2.5 years old. And she can also take off her own clothes. So I'm pretty proud of
that's
that.
That's cool.
Also, mine and my stepdaughter's, we both have the same favorite band right now, which is really weird.
What band
and really
is it?
Cool. AJR.
Oh, look, you getting on the AJR bandwagon, huh?
I love them so much.
Aren't they great?
And then she randomly started talking about them one day.
Probably after hanging out with Aubrey.
Yeah, I think so.
Because Aubrey's like the number one AJR fan. We took her to that concert last year, and that was her first concert.
And that was them?
That was them.
I remember you talking about them now.
We've been listening to AJR for years.
I love them.
Like their music isn't kid music, but it's not like hip-hop adult music. It's right in the middle. I'd say those are definite one-ups, especially the music one. Because being able to share music with your child, it allows you to bond on like another, just an additional level that you didn't have before.
Yeah, like this is the first thing like we're both like excited about.
I have a true crime.
Another one.
And it's, I feel like a jerk for part of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right. A crime. That's not it. It's this one.
What'd you do? Not up in here!
All right. Some backstory. So, moved into our house last month. And the basement downstairs has been set aside for Aubrey's bathroom. Or not, the bathroom in the basement has been set aside for Aubrey's bathroom.
The whole basement. The whole we basement just laid some newspaper down.
She just does what she does. So in this bathroom, it's pretty simple. There's a simple shower. It's not very big. It's the perfect size for Aubrey because she's petite. She's a small kid. So it's the perfect size. However, when we were doing our home inspection, the home inspector said there's a lot of water damage around the base of this shower. So it either leaks or it leaked. One of those. So moving in, we're like, all right, we're going to have to replace the shower. Got a quote, got some money off our mortgage or off our house. And so we have this shower and we're like getting stuff fixed up and my daughter and I were down there and we were prepping for paint and to put some fixtures on the wall. And I said, all right, Aubrey, let's run the water for like 15 minutes and let's see if we can see it leaking anywhere. Because it's just on a concrete slab. We're going to see it somewhere. Mm-hmm. So we ran it for about 15 minutes, turned it off. And I was like, I don't see any water. So I think you're okay to shower down here as your own bathroom. As long as you're not taking a long shower, I think you'll be fine. But if we notice that this is leaking, you'll have to stop until we can fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was understood. So we painted, we put up all new lighting fixtures. I taught her how electricity works, how to work the circuit breaker and the fuses, how to wire stuff together, and right to like put as much pride into that bathroom as we could. We let her pick the paint color and the rug and the shower curtain and all the fixtures and the lighting and everything so that she'd like it and use it and want to use it. So my wife and I have been busting our butts to get this place fixed up. It's not a bad place. It's just old. It's built in the 70s. So there's paint that needs to be touched up. There's holes here and there. But it's a lot of work. And we don't want any more of it. We'd like a little less.
Well, understandable.
Aubrey and I had been butting heads for a long time. And her mom comes upstairs. Or, hang on. I don't know why.
Rona.
Voice is so. There we go. I'm back. All right. So, Aubrey comes upstairs, and Mikkel and I are up in the kitchen, and Mikkel goes, you need to go and pull all of the caulking that you peeled off of the shower and bring it up here. And I lost my mind. She brought it up, and it was about good 6 inches worth of, like, caulking that she had peeled up. And I was like, Aubrey, you know we're working hard to fix up this place. You know we don't have money to redo your shower. Otherwise, it would be done. Like, you know this. Like, why are you trying to ruin things? Why are you peeling stuff off the walls? If you're that bored in the shower, get out. That's all you have to do is just get out of the shower. And I was like, I was really mad. And I said, you can't do anything until you figure out how to fix it. And I was like, and if you need to go to Lowe's, you need to get a ride to Lowe's to get what you need to fix it. So she disappears for about an hour. She comes downstairs and she's really soft-spoken. She goes, Dad, can you give me a ride to Lowe's after dinner? And I was like, yes, I can. And so dinner came and went, and it was about an hour and a half before she said, oh, can we go to Lowe's? Well, this put her within about an hour and a half of bedtime. And this is like new bedtime because we stayed up way too late bedtime. So, you know, bedtime's at 9 and we don't have a whole lot of time. And she knows this. And she knows because I told her, look, your bedtime is not too far from here. And we got to go all the way to Lowe's, all the way back, and you got to fix it. So, we get in the car. And I decide, all right, we're going to let her sweat for a bit. And I'm going to take the long way. Right? Because there's nothing worse than, like, when you know you got to get something done and your parents, like, dick around with you. And they take the long way or they stop for an ice cream cone or something. And you're just, we just got to go. Okay? So I take the long way. We get stopped by a train. A long-ass train. Like, this train had to have had over 100 cars on it. And it wasn't going fast because there's, like, a loading depot just north of our house. And so we sat there for 20 minutes almost. Which, inside, I'm laughing a little bit. I'm like, all right, I didn't mean to be this big of a dick.
# respectful parenting. Yes.
So the train leaves. We get to Lowe's, and I get out, and I've had my shoulder worked on and my back's killing me, so I don't feel like walking. So I get in one of the little, you know, electric carts, and I just happen to pick the absolute slowest cart in the history of the world. And I'm like holding down the trigger as hard as I can, and I'm not meaning to go this slow, but like you could scoot across the floor on your butt faster than we were going. And good thing I had my mask on because I was like laughing to myself, like, what are the odds that I get the slowest cart? So we go to get the caulk, and she figured out she needs silicone caulk for a shower. So we go to the shower area and she gets a tube of caulk. And I was like, you need to read the instructions to make sure you know what you need because you need a caulk gun. So she reads it. She goes, oh, Dad, I need a caulk gun. I was like, that's over in paint. It's at the other end of the store. As we go like 0.1 miles an hour through the store. And then we get there and I was like, lucky for you, you don't need one because we have one at home. back to the other end of the store.
You're an asshole.
And she buys it with her own money. And we go home.
That's good.
Which, I mean, a thing of Kalk, $6. And, you know, she had saved up over $100 or whatever. So I was like, look, this is going to be a big lesson in how much time and how much money some things actually take. And how,
yeah,
even if something is a cheap fix, it's not a fast fix.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, so we get home. I show her how the caulk gun works, how to cut the tip off of the caulk, how to pierce, do all this stuff, how to do your bead and wipe it off, all this stuff. So I'm like, okay, you need to get it done. You know, 6 inches, get it done. She got done. I was like, okay, now you own a tube of caulk. So that wasn't the expensive part. I was like, Aubrey, the expensive part is it took us almost an hour and a half to get to Lowe's and back. I was like, that mm-hmm. time adds up, Aubrey. For every little one of these little things that you do, I've got to make a trip there and back. And that's time that I don't get to do what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So she fixed the caulk in the shower. I was going to point out, hey, you got to let this cure for a bit and tell her that, you know, you won't be able to use a shower tonight, but let her shower, let her do her thing. But I felt like such a dick for doing such like good positive thing because I didn't expect that freaking cart or that train to go as slow as they were, you know?
Did she make it to bed on time?
Just barely, but...
Oh, you're fine.
But
it's fine.
Once she was done fixing it, she like worked herself up so much because she was afraid that she was going to get to bed late that she was like... And I was like, hey, calm down. Like, you've got time. You're not in that big of a rush. Just slow down. I was like, Aubrey, don't panic about what you're doing slow now. The thing we just did is what made you late and made you slow. Right now, just slow down. Slow is fast. That's what we always tell her. Slow is fast. It's a lot easier to do it once than it is to do it once and then do it the right way. So just calm down. Do your thing. But yeah, I think she learned her lesson about peeling the caulk off. But it was funny because my dad came up Saturday real quick to drop off some stuff. And he asked to go see. Let me go see the caulking you put in the shower. And he would like sign off on it, but
she probably loved that though, like,
yeah,
being able to show her work. And yep.
And she was able to
and
show
now
off.
They understand, like, oh geez, me picking this little thing up like sucks now.
Yeah, even though like the actual act of like repairing the caulk is literally a minute, it's everything else that adds up.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's a one up.
Yeah,
yeah,
a true crime and a one up.
Yeah. Oh, all in boy. One.
Wow, my heart grew a little bit. Well,
right. I have a stupid story.
Stupid story time.
Yep, because I'm a klutz, and now my daughter's a klutz, and we're all doomed. You know, on like the door frame, how you can hang clothes on the top of it with a hanger?
If you balance them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I put a bunch of clothes on like on there that we had just cleaned because it was too heavy for the rod in our laundry room. So then we remembered to take them upstairs. While we were watching a movie and I was trying to run upstairs to grab a snack real quick while ducking underneath the clothes and staring at the TV, and I slammed my head into the door frame so fucking hard that I staggered back, instant tears to my eyes, and I have the biggest goose egg like right on my temple. Like it hurts so bad, and it happened last night. And every time I chew, the pressure of like my temple moving when I chew just like fucking kills that goose egg. And I felt so dumb, and Steve saw the whole thing and he was laughing so hard, and it was just like so stupid, and it still hurts, and it's been about 24 hours now, and I think it's going to be there for a while, and that's the first goose egg I've had in a long, long time.
That's a very little kid injury.
I know, right?
Yep. Running out real quick, not taking your eyes off the TV, and then you got a concussion.
Yeah, pretty much.
Did you do the, like, you know you're hurt because you're not crying. You're just going...
Yeah, like it was instant tears. Like before I even knew what just happened, like I could feel my eyes like welling up. Exploded. Like, it hurt.
Oh, I've been there before. Yeah.
It didn't hurt as much as my pride.
I literally clotheslined myself when I was a little kid. at my grandma's house in their backyard, they have like a cement pit that had like a basketball hoop, and they ran their like clothesline across it or whatever to hang up on the laundry. And then there was like a shed back there, and it was all like bordered by like a little garden. Well, my grandma would always hang up the laundry out there all the time. And it was a lot of fun when she'd hang up the sheets because you could like run through them, you know, and they'd like brush over your face. Like you're, I don't even know, like I'm a showgirl or something with the feathers going across my face.
What every little boy wants to be.
Until I fucking hit a fitted sheet and that sucker caught under my chin. And yeah, my legs flipped out and I hit my head. And it was, you know, when you hit your head so hard, you can taste.
You can copper.
Yeah, you're just like, yep, I danced. Yep. There goes something. I'll never know what I forgot, but something just left my brain. I can taste it. But yeah, clothesline myself.
That's amazing.
Great. Yeah. Well, Jen, I think that does it for us.
Yep.
We want to wish.
Hopefully you.
Yeah. Son of a gun. We practiced this. I wanted to say that from all of us here at the Unqualified Parenting Families, we want to wish you and yours a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
Whether it's small with just your family, whether it's just some of you getting together, or if it's some of you that are just celebrating remote, we hope that you get to see family in one way or another, and that the holiday is nice. Good for you.
Yeah. All right, folks.
Like, subscribe, tell your family and friends to listen. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for the show, shoot us an email at
hello@unqualifiedparenting.com.
I think Jen's just waving to someone outside of her window right now. But all right, folks, have a good holiday, and we will see you on the other side of the holiday. That was weird.
You have survived another fortnight of parenting.